Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. Happy Monday. I'm Danielle Alvari here at the VSiN Circa Studio. We have Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo at the South Point Sportsbook. And lots to discuss. We were trying to figure out where is J.J. Watt going last week, and now we have our answer. Watt tweeted a picture of himself working out in a Cardinals shirt, and the caption said, "Source me." So it looks like he's made his decision. He's reportedly signing a 2-year, $31 million contract with $23 million guaranteed. Quarterback hits and sacks since 2011. This is via Pro Football Focus. J.J. Watt has 298. Nobody else has more than 230. The Cardinals, an interesting landing spot, to say the least. They finished 8-8 out of the playoffs last season. But Watt, reuniting with his old friend DeAndre Hopkins, who we know left from Houston to Arizona last year. Vinny, are you surprised to see this signing?
No, not at all. I think it's a pretty good signing for the Cardinals. It's obviously a good fit for J.J. Watt. Not necessarily think he's going to be an every down defensive player, but I think what it gives the Cardinals is more leadership. Some experience. I think it's a fresh start for him. I kind of wonder, too, if he's going to be in any offensive role. Remember a few years back, he had several touchdown receptions with Houston. I wonder if that's a little bit of a some gimmick plays may be in store for him down in Arizona, but not a total shock. Cardinals, still about 40-1, though. Did not really move the needle in terms of Super Bowl futures.
Yeah, I think Vinny hit on the key point there, Danielle, that when Larry Fitzgerald retires, J.J. Watt's going to be his replacement. No, I think the Cardinals overpaid here for J.J. Watt, but it's not such a bad deal that it's going to be a huge, huge mistake. I don't think it's going to be a costly mistake like the Rams have made with some of their bad contracts in the same division. J.J. Watt can help that defense. They need help up front. If you overpay a little bit to get him, I guess so be it, because there was a lot of competition for Watt in this free agent market, so maybe you had to overpay a little bit. But that's a long shot winner, Danielle. I didn't hear anyone mention the Cardinals last week.
I was going to say, we were talking about how he was probably interested in going somewhere where he could be a Super Bowl contender. Cardinals was not the first name that popped into people's minds. What factors do you think he actually considered when he made this decision?
Money, mostly.
Just the money, yeah.
I think that was probably the best offer he got. And, you know, the Cardinals probably convinced him, too, that, hey, we're not that far away. And Cardinals really don't look like they're that far away from, you know, the NFC West is really competitive, Vinny. It's tough to move up. But the Cardinals were pretty close last year, and they have an exciting offense. Kyler Murray has matured. And I think you could convince a guy like J.J. Watt, hey, we're close. This is the best offer. And that probably pushes him over the edge.
It might not be next year, Matt, but certainly the year after. It looks like they're committed to getting better every year. But you're right. It's a very competitive division. But one of the more exciting up-and-coming quarterbacks, too, right? When you think of, I mean, the Rams are obviously the favorite. And then it's everybody else. What's going to happen with the 49ers? What are the Seahawks going to add, particularly on defense? Yeah. But we see a steady improvement in Phoenix, and I think J.J. Watt has added to that.
Now, Vinny, I know you kind of already touched on this, but for the Cardinals' Super Bowl odds, they did shift from 45-1 to 30-1 at PointsBet. Circa's moved them from 35-1 to 30-1.
Come on.
Nothing at the South Point yet? You're thinking this is at least a year away before we see a real impact here?
Well, again, I go by the division. That's where you start. We had them at 30-1. We raised them at 40, and that's still where where they are. So this was before J.J. Watt. It wasn't like we moved them to 40. They were at 40 and we left them.
Yeah, that's just a joke that you would move the futures odds based on J.J. Watt signing with the Cardinals. That didn't move the needle at all on Super Bowl futures, not one bit. And any book that does move it, it's lame.
Stafford moved the needle for the Rams. J.J. Watt not for the Cardinals.
So you're thinking not a huge impact for the Cardinals at all because he's a defensive player or because they have too many other holes they have to fill?
They've got other things to fill. Again, I go back to the who's favorite in the division. It's the Rams. And again, they need some other pieces. Now, we'll see how the season plays out. But this is more of a two-year project or a continuing project for another couple of years.
What moves the needle on Super Bowl futures odds is a quarterback signing. Or maybe cluster signings where a team signs three or four high-impact guys, not just a guy like J.J. Watt.
All right, obviously a lot more for us to break down for you. Stick with us right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome in to My Guys in the Desert on a Monday. Danielle Alvari here at the VSiN Circus Studio. We have Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo at the South Point Sportsbook. And a great show ahead of us to talk a lot about college basketball. We have NBA. And, of course, Jimmy Vaccaro will pop his head in, always wise and informative. Tim Brando will be our first guest that we'll see, national sports commentator for Fox Sports. And then a little bit later on, at the top of the next hour, we'll hear from Jonathan Von Tobel, our senior NBA analyst here at VSiN. Matt?
Yeah, it's not a big night in the NBA, but we have a lot to talk about with JVT at the top of the second hour. One of our favorite guests, Tim Brando, going to kick it off with us here in a couple minutes. Vinny, it was an eventful weekend. The Vegas Golden Knights tout deal blew up. Wes Reynolds hit a golf future. We had upsets in college hoops. And sadly, we had the death of Irv Cross, who was a close friend of Brent Musburger.
Yeah, that's, let's start there, man, because Irv Cross, certainly, we started to follow him on the NFL Today. He went from a sideline reporter to being a major component with Brent, Phyllis George, and, of course, Jimmy the Greek. So definitely was a show that we all grew up with watching the NFL with. Certainly condolences to his family.
No, Tim Brando had a tweet about this. We got the statement from Brent Musburger here. Let's go ahead and read that first. Vinny, you want to read Brent's statement?
Sure. Irv was one of the finest gentlemen I've been with. We met at Northwestern, where Irv played both ways for Coach Ara Parseghian. He later became my go-to mainstay on the NFL Today. No one ever had a bad thing to say about Irv. He led the way for African-Americans to host NFL and other sports shows. Rest in peace, my friend, Brent Musburger, regarding Irv Cross.
That's posted on Brent's Twitter account. Tim Brando retweeted that, and Tim tweeted last night, only Brent Musburger is left from the original cast of the NFL Today. That's a bitter pill for those of us 55 and up. All studio shows owe a debt of thanks to first pregame show, personality-driven program that's vision was go big or go home. Innovative and thought-provoking. Rest in peace, Irv, and well said by Brent and Tim Brando, who joins us now. Tim Brando of Fox Sports. Tim, you want to reflect on Irv Cross and what he meant to the TV sports broadcasting industry and that NFL Today show?
Thank you, Matt. It's great to be with you fellas today, and certainly the topic is not the one that I endear myself necessarily to, because it seems like we're losing way too many of the great pioneers in our profession. We've certainly lost a number of great coaches. We're in the middle of a college basketball season where we've seen so many, and it's part of life. I mean, they're in their 80s, most of them, when you hear about passing. And for those of us that are, I just celebrated my 65th on Saturday, and I jokingly tell Brent whenever I have the opportunity, or anybody else that's been at it longer than I have, that we're the new old guys, you know. And when you're one of the newer old guys, you have to take in the ARP card humor as well as maybe some Social Security and Medicare humor, you take it and you run with it and say, boy, it means I've had a good life. And I know Irv did. He had been, I think, struggling some with Alzheimer's, but my friend Rich Podolsky, who was one of the, if not the first writer that they had on the NFL Today, he's a wonderful author. He's written books on Don Kirshner, of Don Kirshner's rock concert, and the impact he had on what we heard on the radio years ago, as well as Neil Sedaka. Rich did a piece today on him that I really think you guys should look at if you get a chance. I retweeted it out just a few moments ago. He's writing a book on the original NFL Today called You Are Looking Live. And he was with Irv just a few weeks ago. And even though he was struggling some, he had a wonderful conversation with him. And Rich and I are really close, so he was able to tell me about that. I'm a historian of television of all sorts, but particularly sports television. And my awe of Brent and what he did in steamrolling the trail for all of us that got into sports television, maybe not thinking that we would be in a studio setting, I certainly dreamed of being a play-by-play guy, not being in a studio. But I, as it turned out, the bulk of my career at the national level was in the studio, and the combination of doing both play-by-play and studio. And Irv was the stabilizing force, the go-to guy that every host really wants and needs. And I deal with that in a very similar way with Spencer Tillman. Spencer was my right hand in that same studio, Studio 43, for the College Football Today for 15 of the 16 years that I had that role. And so many of the qualities that Spencer had in the studio and still does have in the booth, I think were a byproduct of his having grown and watched someone like Irv Cross come before him. The understanding of the game for having played it, the ability to communicate so that not only just players, football speak guys could understand it, but that the lay people could too, that it was made understandable. And of course, he had a great personality to go with it and didn't mind being put in some difficult spots. I remember watching from time to time when they would send him out to a remote location, and maybe it was a place where some of the NFL people didn't want Irv to line up. And some belligerent guy from the NFL would go, "You got to move. You got to get this camera out of here." And Irv would just smile and be cordial and say, "Well, hang on, Brent, we got to move here in a second." You know, without a beat, without missing a beat, and keep his countenance, you know, which is not always an easy thing to do, particularly back then. That show, the NFL Today, which really took on a completely different look at how you set up a day of NFL football in the mid-70s was the rule book, okay, the unwritten rule book for all of us that got into network studio sports. And the ability to inject just enough of your own personality into information. Brent wrote the book on how to be the maestro of it, but in order to do it, you had to have the perfect ensemble. And we knew what demographics Phyllis would bring. We knew the demographics that Jimmy the Greek would bring. But the right hand, the one that Brent would turn to, that he knew he could count on always, was Irv Cross. And that to me, is the role that he played in what was, I think, the most transformative innovation that we had in sports television in the years that I grew up. And that was the NFL Today. Think about it. We had no CNN Sports. We had no ESPN. We had none of that. Okay. And for many of us, the thought of being in the position of Brent Musburger in a studio situation never occurred to us until that show was put in place. And to think that, I guess, now with the loss of Phyllis and now Irv, it's Brent that's the only one left, and he's still going strong, still throwing fastballs right there with you guys and on Raiders games every I'll go out and get in my car just to hear the Red Zone channel on Sirius XM so I can catch up with what Brent's got going on. That's how much I love to listen to it.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. Yeah. You saw the photo there, Vinny, of Jimmy the Greek Snyder, Phyllis George, Irv Cross and Brent Musburger in the NFL Today set. That's a great photo.
I love that picture. Yeah. I remember Brent had it here, and I think we had Irv Cross on a couple of years back from here on VSiN when Brent was in studio. And of course, you know, like Tim mentioned, we all grew up with it. Certainly, I made sure that I tuned in when I was junior college.
Tim Brando with us at Fox Sports. Tim, I watch you on College Hoops every week. I know one week you didn't make it to a game. You were snowed in Louisiana.
Get out of my driveway. Oh, man.
How's the from your seat where you've been observing this college basketball season, how different do you think it's been? And what are some of the things that have jumped out to you? Because this has certainly been a unique college hoops season.
Hard to believe I'll be going to New York after I do my game Saturday at Providence. I've got Villanova at Providence on Saturday on Fox. And then I'll head over to New York where history, you know, how many of us are going to, in sports anyway, are going to look back at March 12th and say, okay, where were you when? sports stopped, and I know where I was, calling the final college basketball game of the year and the final sporting event for a long period of time, halftime of the St. John's Creighton game in the quarterfinals on Thursday, March the 12th. Hard to believe that I'll be going back to that scene, and it will be surreal again, because Madison Square Garden, again, will be largely empty. They're going to allow maybe a few of the family members and limited tickets, I believe, per school, the number of which I'm not sure. But it'll be largely the world's most famous arena with the least amount of people that we've ever seen, and we'll be going at it again. I do think college basketball has been more strange to watch. You guys can tell me better than maybe I can tell you. I think it's a little bit harder to watch than college football. Would that be fair? I think it is, because when you watch a Duke North Carolina game at Cameron Indoor Stadium and no one's there, and you can see where the scoring table would be, and there may be one person sitting along press row, and the announcers are up in the second tier. Now, we were accustomed to that at Cameron, but at every facility, we're usually one tier up, you know, not the mezzanine, but maybe the loge, if you want to call it that, to call our games from distance. I've been fortunate that I've been able to do my games from the remote side. I do think it's important that the announcers be at the game, and very few are. I would say it's pretty much 25% to 75% in favor of remote over being at the game in college basketball, whereas with college football, I think it was more of a 40-60, where most of the announcers were there 40% of the time, and I was there for all of mine. It's hard, and frankly, I think a little scary to me from the standpoint of where our industry may be taking us in the future, because whenever television executives discover they can save money, sometimes they stay with it, particularly with the broadcasting rights going sky high every year whenever rights fees come up. I don't want to see the craft of play-by-play thrown under the bus. And I'm afraid when I see some of the decisions being made and I'm watching a game as important as, say, an Alabama-Arkansas game, and the announcers are at their homes, and they seem to be, everybody seems to be okay with that. That bothers me. I don't like that. I think it's obviously a way to save money, and the really good announcers fight through it well and do the best that they can. But I do think it's problematic for the long term. Our industry is contracting, and it's going to be really hard for young people, I think, coming up. I've put a lot of years in, so I'd like to do this for as long as I can, but I have to be realistic. I'm probably in the last 10 years at best, I think, probably, of my opportunities. But for young people that are broadcasters coming up, how do you develop relationships with coaches? How do you develop, we're out there telling stories about people, and you got to talk to those that are involved. And in some cases, you can Zoom, but with as many basketball games as there are, I have found that the chance to talk to players has been almost nil. You're basically talking with the coaches and maybe the sports information people, and that's about it. The games themselves have actually been, I think, really well played, given what these kids are going through. You know, to be in their own bubble within their collegiate atmosphere, cut off from girlfriends and cut off from social friends and their families. I think they fought through it very, very well. And I think you've also seen the impact on younger teams that don't have the chemistry of those teams that have been together for 3 or 4 years, because the practice time isn't the same. So those teams that have 3 and 4 year guys that are on their starting lineup and don't have the one and dones, that's why Duke is in the position they're in. It's the reason why, in a lot of ways, we've seen the same thing with Kentucky and Michigan State, who's beginning to fight out of it a little bit. But some of the blue bloods have been adversely affected because they signed off on just doing the Jimmys and Joes and getting 4 stars and 5 stars, understanding that they would only keep them a year, maybe two. The programs have gotten old and stayed old, like Villanova, like Wisconsin. Take a look at that Michigan team, by example. They got a couple of great freshmen, and Hickenson's great, but they've got Isaiah Livers. They've got Eli Brooks. I mean, these guys have been around, and the Wagner kid, even though he's just a sophomore, plays as old as his brother. And that's really helped Juwan Howard's team out. So all things considered, it's been good. I'm glad we're going to get a tournament in, but it will be an even more different NCAA tournament to watch too.
Yeah, Hunter Dickinson's a 7-foot freshman, but like you said, Franz Wagner is a sophomore, and you have three senior guards, Livers, Mike Smith, and Eli Brooks. So Juwan Howard does have some seniors to work with youth there as well. We're going to actually – Tim, can you hang around for a couple minutes? We have to take a break.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay.
We had, I'd love to.
We're running up against a break here, and we wanted to ask you a couple more questions about college hoops. We got to wrap it up. Vinny, I know you were going to ask Tim about the Blue Bloods that he made a reference to, because you and Tim are both advocates for the underdog, for the little guys in college hoops.
Would love to hear Tim's take on that, especially as passionate as he was during the college football playoffs.
Right.
I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got to say about some of the mid-majors and lower.
Well, Duke took a loss over the weekend. Baylor took its first loss, and Kentucky is in a hopeless situation. The only hope would be to win the SEC tournament. We're going to take a quick break here on My Guys in the Desert. Tim Brando of Fox Sports be with us. We come back here in a couple minutes. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now let's get back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns, Vinny Maiulo, and still on the call with us, Tim Brando.
Great to have Tim Brando back on the show again today.
Yes.
This is part two of the discussion, but Vinny, this is going to be a brief part. We've got about 5.5 minutes to talk about some more college hoops.
Yep. Tim, thanks for sticking around with us, my friend, and loved your candor when we had you on during the right before the college football playoffs. Would love to hear what you have to say about, you know, with Selection Sunday now, less than 2 weeks away. There's been a lot of discussion about the how Blue Bloods, you look at Kentucky, for instance, and Duke, Michigan State, how they've not gotten on track yet. I know that you're a champion of more diversity in terms of teams, the mid-majors, the smaller conferences. Your take on what we could see, what you'd like to see on Selection Sunday.
It is a little different from my take on college football in the sense that basketball, because of the sheer numbers, they do need a lot of those Blue Bloods to manage to get in. All right. The ratings for college football are still very good, even though they've really taken a major hit. You know, the national championship game, even with the two big names, the two big brands, has poor rating as they've had in years and years and years. College basketball, particularly the NCAA tournament, needs some of those brand names to be there. So I think the committee will go out of its way to find a spot for Duke. I don't think Kentucky can get in without winning the SEC tournament. They don't have enough games, and they're sub 500. They lost a game with A&M last week, which really hurts. I think they got to win the whole thing in the SEC tournament, and they may do it. You know, it could happen. If so, they steal a bid. Remember, there is an extra at large this year because of the Ivy League determination. So there is one more spot. That being said, college basketball has been fairly good about allowing Cinderella to have its day, to have its moment. You know, some of the names that pop out through the years that would blow you away, that had great NCAA tournaments, played for some of the mid-majors through the years. And that will happen regardless of how many Blue Bloods get in. But I do think, in the case of Michigan State, by example, they had two back-to-back wins over top five teams, first time they had done that since 99, before they laid the egg and couldn't hit the ocean against Maryland yesterday. They may find their way in, too. They've got two meetings with Michigan coming up, back-to-back. You know, they could split that, okay, and have six quad one wins. right. even with the record they have in the Big Ten. So I think they've got a legit shot. But Billy Packer made a great point years ago, and it was very unpopular with a lot of basketball people when he said David Stern and the NBA is not your friend. They're not looking out for the best interests of college basketball. The decision, when you think back, now granted, Coach K made a pivot to going about the one and done about 7 years ago. It did get him another national championship, but that team is not that team is no longer playing like the teams that Wojo and Bobby Hurley. They don't play. They don't defend the 3-point line. They're thinking about their futures in the NBA. And look, if you're Roy Williams and you're Mike Krzyzewski and you've reached 74, 75 years of age, you know, it's too late for you to make the difference. And to Mike Krzyzewski's credit, he tried to tell the NCAA years ago in the mid-90s, we need to go about this differently or we're going to be in trouble. He got shot down, and I think he threw his hands up. But that move that he made with the United States Olympic team through Jerry Colangelo only made it easier for him to get one and done. And I think here's the sad truth. Going that way left him in this position this year. He was vulnerable. He looked vulnerable. He is vulnerable, as is John Calipari. And it's, you know, Packer was right. The NBA never gave a damn about college basketball. Okay. Never did. And frankly, it's hurt the game. And we were told they were going to go to 2 years. We were going to get that number up to age 20 rather than 19. They're not doing that. The Players Association won't let it happen. College basketball, I think, will go more for big names because they have to, just to get the some ratings, okay? Because college basketball has taken a huge hit. That's one of the reasons why less money is being spent on covering it in our industry.
Tim, we appreciate the time today. Excellent. Love to catch up with you after the NCAA tournament draw in about a week and a half, if that sounds good.
Sounds great, fellas. And give my love to Brent. I know he's mourning the loss of Irv today. Tell him we're praying along with him. All right?
All right. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate
you
it.
Bet.
Tim Brando of Fox Sports. Great to have him on again. He's never shy to voice his opinion about it. I think he's right about most of what he said there about college basketball and the changes we've seen in the past 25 years.
He doesn't wing it. He's got the passion, and he backs up his passion with a solid opinion. No doubt.
All right, Tim Brando. We appreciate his time today. Up next, the Vegas Golden Knights and their tout deal blew up. Who could see this coming?
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're on top of all the sports on today's schedule, as well as the future impacts of NFL trades, free agency, and draft choices to help you become a sharper better for every game on the board. We're not just about picks and predictions. We give you the analysis and insights you need to become a smarter better on every sport. And right now, for only $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily best bets emails, point spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and of course, all access to vsin.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops tournament for only $50 at vsin.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Vinny Maiulo.
All right. Thanks, Danielle. On Friday's show here on My Guys in the Desert, Robert Walker joined us.
Yes.
Good friend of mine, good friend of yours
for a long time. Robert, a long time.
Former Stardust, MGM Resorts, sportsbook director, now at U.S. Bookmaking. We talked about the Vegas Golden Knights and their deal with the tout service based in Mexico. And we predicted that deal was going to blow up. There was so much negative reaction. How could the NFL approve this? Well, over the weekend, David Shane of the Las Vegas Review-Journal tweeted out the statement from the Golden Knights, quote, "The Vegas Golden Knights have ended their sponsorship agreement with U-Pick Trade.
U-Pick Trade, yeah.
A lot of good exposure, by the way, for U-Pick Trade, for nobody who knew this thing even existed. Quote, "The organization will not have additional comments on the matter at this time," end quote. No additional comments on the matter, Vinny. No additional. So don't even ask. Don't even ask who was the bird brain that came up with this idea and approved it. Let's hear from Robert Walker on Friday's show.
I think the bigger problem here, Matt, is the stupidity of the leagues, right? You know, on one hand, they're clamoring for integrity and integrity fees and making sure everything's on the up and up, and then they do something just outrageously insane here. And, you know, like I said, it just questions everything that you hear from the leagues. You know, obviously I'm anti-leagues. I can't stand them. You know, they're just a money grabbing. But at the same time, we need them to play the games or else I don't have a job. So it's a very catch-22 for me. So this is just, I think, typical. And I lumped in Tennessee and Oregon, and I think you can throw Montana in there as well. And as just people that they're doing stuff that they don't understand. I believe that there was probably nothing nefarious here, that it's just a simple case of the Knights have zero understanding of what they're doing. You know, they have no understanding of the sports betting, how it relates to them, how it relates to integrity. And somebody's making decisions based on, you know, like you said, money, and not any kind of understanding of the business whatsoever.
Robert also said that whoever made that decision for the Golden Knights is a, quote, moron. And I couldn't agree with him more, Vinny.
You know, Matt, we talked about it last week, and any colleague that we spoke with seems to believe, and again, this is purely speculation, but with foundation, that perhaps the organization didn't realize what exactly the difference between a gaming company, a bookmaking operation, and a tout services. And again, listen, this, whatever the industry, this is not an attack on that company. They made a deal, and it was, you know, they thought it was a good deal. However, from a perception standpoint, when you've got an arrangement with an entity that's going to give out picks, I mean, you couldn't pick the Golden Knights every night. So there's a conflict of interest. So again, perception was going to be very, very challenged to begin with. The other part is, and you can hear it in Robert's voice, and so many of us have had the frustration over the years. You know, forever, you know, we were the pariahs when you talk to the leagues and the NCAA.
Yeah.
We did more to monitor and to help protect the integrity of sports.
We always heard
of
sports betting threaten the integrity of the game, right?
Yeah, well.
And now the leagues are allowing franchises to sign deals with tout services based in Mexico.
Well, again, I have to believe that there was a little bit more work that needed to be done. And, well, the Knights, they made the correction. So,
well, how did the Knights even approve that? How do you make that announcement without going through NHL channels? I think some people had their head in the sand or stuck somewhere else. Anyway, the Vegas Golden Knights back in action tonight, Vinny, and fans are back in the arena at T-Mobile, and that's a big deal. And it's Minnesota at Vegas tonight. I think right now at the South Point, you got Vegas minus 145, total of 5.5. And what do you think the difference is now? It's just not going to make much of a difference in general, but I think it's good for everybody to have fans back at some of these games.
Well, there's no question. And again, when you look at the Knights, now there's 2,600 people allowed at T-Mobile tonight. I'm sure they'll probably sound three times that amount. It won't be 18,000 plus. But the Golden Knights have one of, if not the best home ice advantages in the NHL, Matt. And again, but here's the thing. They're going, they get 2,600 fans back, and a hot Minnesota team, six straight wins for the Wild coming into this game. So Knights atop the division right now, but it's very close, and Minnesota is one of those teams. So this is the first meeting of the year between these two teams, and the Wild playing very well. No shock here, right? They laid the $1.40 with the Knights up to $1.45. But I think when you look at this, you look and say, wow, the Knights only $1.45. This Minnesota team is very good. So, and the Knights continue. Peter DeBoer continues to tweak his lines, particularly the defensive pairings. We did see against Anaheim the other day the pairing of Petrangelo and Theodore, which proved to be quite profitable for the Golden Knights.
So, again, Vegas Golden Knights minus 145. If you lay the puck and a half, which I wouldn't do, plus 175. Mm-hmm. Total is 5.5, shaded under, minus 115 here at the South Point Sportsbook. And fans finally return to T-Mobile Arena tonight for a hockey game in Vegas. Good to see. We'll see if Randy McKay has a hockey play tonight in hour number two of today's show. Pretty good hockey board. Wes Reynolds had a winner in golf over the weekend. Big winner for Wes on Brandon Grace, 20-1 in the Puerto Rico Open.
Man.
To be honest, I wish Wes had not won this bet. Because he and I both had Rafael Campos at 200-1. And ooh. Wes tipped that on the Long Shot show last week. So Wes and I would have scored much bigger if Campos had won the tournament at 200-1. He was tied for the lead going into the final round. But credit to Brandon Grace, who holed a bunker shot on
nice.
On the 17th yesterday and pulled out the win, the come-from-behind win, to get Wes Reynolds back in the win column. 20-1 on Brandon Grace. Also, Colin Morikawa cashed at 47-1.
Yeah.
That was the number at Circus Sports on the WGC Workday Tournament in Bradenton, Florida. Vinny, I was a week early on Morikawa. I played him three times this season. He ranked last in the field of everyone who made the cut at Riviera in putting. Last in the field in putting. And he comes back, puts on a brilliant putting display this week and wins. Just can't quit on guys sometimes.
You're going to get back on track this week, buddy. Very confident in you, Matt Humans. Very confident.
Jeff Seeley was right there with me. He's on the Follow the Money show's golf handicapper. We were both a week early on Colin Morikawa, but he pays off as high as 47-1. Quick break. We come back. We'll take a look at tonight's top college hoops games.
To the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com, and you can download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Humans and Vinny Maiulo.
All right, Vinny, last week you and Chris Andrews, Jimmy Vaccaro here at South Point put up some college hoops props. Did a great job putting these up. I think generated a lot of discussion, a lot of interest at the betting windows, and we've got a little bit of movement on the line to report, too. I wrote about this. It's going to be in the New York Post tomorrow. It's going to be in our Point Spread Weekly magazine. We have a line move to talk about on one of the props right now.
Yeah, Matt, we put up two sets of props here after thinking about it for a little bit. Chrissy got back in, and we posted these on Friday. So the first one, three teams versus the field. And, of course, the three teams that we chose were Gonzaga, Baylor, and at the time Villanova. Of course, Baylor and Villanova going into the weekend were pretty considerable favorites, double digits in the case of Villanova. Open to pick 'em. Steady stream of money came in on the three teams. Got as high as $1.50. After yesterday's results, Baylor and Villanova going down. Now it's back to pick. Up the ladder to $1.50 and back down the ladder to now pick 'em right where it opened. The other bet, which I know is one that you and I talked about as well, quite a bit, and has generated quite a bit of action. The Big Ten, as a conference, to win the one of the teams to win the NCAA tournament against everyone else, the field. And in this case, the field does include Gonzaga and Baylor. So the field was 8 to 5, $1.60 on the opener. It is now up to 2 to 1, plus 175 on the Big Ten. Of course, Big Ten headed by Michigan. Really, which who are playing as well as anybody in the country right now. So those two props. Matt, you mentioned it, generate a lot of discussion, but not only discussion, you want betting, you want interest, and interest translates to betting. And what you also get as a byproduct is folks also looking at your future book and teams getting some play in the future book as well.
When you open that, I'll admit that I talked to you on Friday.
Yeah.
I said, I think that price is cheap on the field against the Big Ten. When,
yep.
When I look at the Big Ten, I think there's one team that can win the title, and
sure.
It's Michigan.
Michigan.
Now, a couple of those teams might be able to pull off some upsets, maybe get to a Final Four. I don't see Iowa or Illinois winning the whole thing. I don't think you do either.
No.
Ohio State might be able to make a run.
Make it difficult.
That's why
sure.
I thought 160 was a little bit too cheap on the field against the Big Ten. Well, I do have a ticket, by the way, on Michigan at 30-1. I wish I'd bet a lot more on it at the time, but I'll take the 30-1. We're seeing Michigan now as low as some places at 4-1.
Matt, I saw them at 350 over the weekend.
Yeah.
There's no question that that Michigan's getting a lot of attention, rightfully so. You know, we were talking to Tim Brando. Terrific in the pivot with the fresh, but three senior guards. You want senior leadership going into the tournament, and I think that's something that Howard's got going for him as a coach. Juwan Howard has going for him in the Wolverines. Very good right now and very dangerous. And I've got them right up there with Gonzaga and Baylor. Remember last week we were talking about the conferences, and I said they were close. Yeah. They've gotten closer. It's basically, you decide. It's basically a pick 'em between those two teams. Gonzaga probably about 1.5 to 2 points better.
We did see Villanova go down over the weekend.
Yeah.
Lost at Butler. Mm-hmm. Villanova shot 2 for 27 from three. Colin Gillespie was 1 for 5. Up next in a couple of days, Villanova Creighton. I think I'll be on Villanova in that spot. And we did see Baylor take its first loss.
Yep.
The Bears went down at Kansas as slight favorites. There was money on Kansas, Vinny.
Yeah, not a shock. I don't think, Matt. Some folks were surprised what their response would be after the overtime loss to Texas earlier in the week. But they were playing better as well. Look, the conference speaks for itself. These are dangerous games. This is what I think is going to bode well for Baylor, for Michigan, and work against Gonzaga. And it's not a knock on Gonzaga. It's simply the fact that they were tested in the first half.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's almost like they control everything about the tempo. They dictate the pace. They dictate every aspect of the game, unlike what happens to Michigan and Baylor game in and game out.
Baylor is going to be at West Virginia tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Opening number is 3.
3. Yeah.
Be taking a look at West Virginia there. Bears came back a little bit rusty from that 3-week COVID layoff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a look at tonight's College Board, Vinny, and there's a lot to talk about. We'll hit on the games we can here before the break. Miami and Virginia and the Cavaliers. This tips, by the way, in about 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
So if you're going to bet this, get to the window fast. Virginia, a double-digit favorite, and we have a low total.
Yeah, 15, Matt. We used 15.5, and now we're down to 15. Not a lot of money. But here, Virginia's struggling, right? I mean, both these teams are struggling, but you don't expect Virginia to be struggling. They've lost 3 straight games. But again, they are at home here. 5 straight losses for Miami. Miami's only won one of their last 10 games here. So if Virginia is going to get back on track, this appears to be a game for them to do so. They're going to have to shoot much better than they have. But 15 here, and the total on this one, I don't think it'll surprise anybody. 123, a low total. It involves the Cavaliers. Actually, this total's down a couple of points off the opener.
All right, yeah, total of 122.5.
Yeah, we're at 123.
It's a very low total.
Yeah.
But you got to think Miami's going to struggle to produce offense against Virginia. How about North Carolina and Syracuse, another ACC game?
Yeah.
And Carolina, a slight favorite here, and two teams that find themselves on the bubble. The Tar Heels in a little bit better position going into this game, but it's two desperate teams.
Well, I think the good thing for Carolina, right, they was an impressive and important win by them on Saturday over Florida State at home. Now they go to Syracuse. Matt, they won. They was a close game at Chapel Hill earlier this year, 81-75. And right now, North Carolina opened as a 1-point favorite, up to 150.5 for the total. But Carolina trying to get back on track. 2 double-digit losses on the road for Syracuse. One of them was at Duke and the other at Georgia Tech. So Syracuse certainly more on the bubble than North Carolina at this point.
All right. I did not have a play on either ACC game we just talked about. I did take 5 with Arizona. The Cats are facing Oregon tonight on the road. And
little payback.
That's a little bit of payback. It could be. Hopefully that's the way it works out. Oregon won at Arizona 63-61, middle of February. James Akinjo has been hot for Arizona. Mm-hmm. He had 26 points against Washington over the weekend. That's a little bit of a shaky win, 75-74 over a bad Huskies team. But the Cats have won 3 in a row in Tucson, and they're 17-8 overall, 11-8 in the Pac-12. But here's the key to this game. And I think Arizona has shown some flashes here in the past couple weeks. Surprised me with a 9-point win at USC. This is Arizona's last game, Vinny. Postseason, no Pac-12 tournament. And that's the key here. Sean Miller and this team, the entire focus is on finishing on a high note, avenging that loss in Tucson. And the season finale angle is what I'm playing here, Arizona plus 5. And a number, it looks like it's dipping a little bit.
Yeah, you and several others, Matt. Yeah, they will not be playing in the postseason this year, from 5 to 4.5. And Oregon's not playing bad at all, right? 7 of 8 wins. I mean, they've covered only 4 of those, but still playing good basketball. And you mentioned the fact that they did win in Tucson a few games back. But 4.5 right now for this game, 139.5 on the total, down a point and a half to 2 points, depending on where you had your opener. We used 141 on it. 2-1. If you like Arizona that much, Matt, maybe you'll consider the money line at plus 175.
I might put a little bit on the money line. I took five. Arizona, by the way, Oregon's played a lot of close games recently. That 2-point win at Tucson was kind of a trend.
Yeah.
The start of a trend for the Ducks, winning 2, 3, 4-point games. Mm-hmm. The games that went down to the last possession here close in the month. Games. And Arizona's won most of those. I think you're going to see the same type of game tonight, which is why I took the 5 here with the Cats, and a lot of focus on the season finale for Sean Miller's team. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. This also tips off at 6 p.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. Vinny, last night I bet Oklahoma in a pick'em. Another conference revenge spot. This is back-to-back. Over the weekend, Cade Cunningham for the Cowboys. 40 points against Oklahoma. He lit up Lon Kruger's defense, and that was a game that the Sooners should have won. They led by 7 at halftime, blew the lead. Cunningham finished with 40, 12 for 21 from the field, 13 of 14 at the free throw line, 11 rebounds, 6 turnovers, and here's what I found interesting. He's probably going to be the first pick in the draft.
Yeah,
he played 44 minutes, and he had 1 assist. So it was pretty much a Cade Cunningham show. But the fact the Sooners blew that game at home, and now they're going on the road. I played that angle at Pick'em. Now it's up to Oklahoma's a favorite. We've seen this number go up steadily during the day. When I first looked, it was 1. Then I saw 1.5. Where are we at now?
We use Pick, Matt. It's up to 2. They laid Pick. They laid 1, 1.5, and now at 2. And again, Cunningham, both of those 40 points, 10 of them were in overtime. He took over the entire game there, particularly in the second half and overtime. And I think you're right. He's probably going to be the number 1 overall pick. What a talent. But Oklahoma, 2 right now, Matt, 144 for the total. Total also climbing by a couple of points. And now Oklahoma, 7-5, $1.40 on the money line in this game to exact a little bit of revenge.
All right. So a couple plays for me in college hoops. I'm going to play some more stuff here. We're going to talk about some more games in the second hour. To wrap it up here with Air Force and Colorado State, I'm thinking about taking the 18.5 with the Falcons. Not sold. It's a late start tonight, 7 p.m. Pacific. Mm-hmm. This is another back-to-back, Vinny, and I like these angles. Even though Air Force doesn't have a lot of incentive in this Mountain West rematch tonight, it's still a team that's always going to give you a great effort.
Yep.
And Air Force hung in there for a while, ended up taking a 72-49 loss in Colorado Springs a couple of nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back here as an 18.5 point dog, about the same number we saw in the first game between these teams.
We actually we used 20, Matt, and they took it. They were down to 18 on this game right now. And Colorado State, of course, right in the thick of the regular season hunt in the Mountain West, right? So, they did take 20 and 19 here, down to 18. 133 on the total.
Colorado State, as of right now, if you look at guys like Jerry Palm and Joe Lenardi, they've got Colorado State on the right side of the bubble. So the Rams can't afford to slip up. I'm not sure the Mountain West is going to get 3 teams in the field. Seems like a little bit of a stretch. Anyway, thanks a lot to Tim Brando of Fox Sports joining us this hour. Hour number 2, JVT and Jimmy V. Stay tuned. Betting Network.